Hello everyone, welcome to Daily Passenger Responsible Travel Podcast. The podcast that wanted to attract more audience, so it swallowed a bunch of magnets. And with that, I have lost a bunch of subscribers. If you are leaving, I won't blame you. Speaking of magnets, let's talk about Himalayas. Every year, Himalayan destinations attract thousands and thousands of tourists. Rampant tourism has left many such destinations filled with garbage. Jalori Pass in Tirthan Valley is one such location that has faced a rampant destruction from pollution. But as we say, someone or else comes along to fight and create a positive change, helping the nature and in turn, educating the locals. My guest today, Tamanna, is the founder of Earthling First. The venture is dedicated to resolving issues like plastic pollution and they want to find solutions for climate change in Himalayas. So let's welcome Tamanna. And before that, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on the platform where you're listening. Hi Tamanna.
Hi.
Thanks for taking out your time once again and joining me for this episode.
Right. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Look forward to your questions today. And yeah.
So before we start, please share a little about your work and Earthling First.
Okay. So I am Tamanna and I run a sustainability consultancy called Earthling First. Earthling First was my brainchild that I thought about in 2013, but it took me a few years to gather the guts to become an entrepreneur since I come from a journalism / campaigner background. So it was a little difficult for me to just accept the fact that entrepreneurship is going to be the medium for my solutions. But then in 2016, I started Earthling First and it's been a few years, the first 3 years till the pandemic last year were pretty fruitful. In fact, we just had great partnerships across India in 20 locations. We were able to figure out waste management solutions. We were able to figure out sustainable alternatives for our clients and reduce their impact on the environment. So that happened and every year there was a continuous growth and progressing very fast until the pandemic happened. And in March 2020, all our projects completely stopped. But yeah, so that was that. But now 2020 also gave me sort of a perspective and I always wanted to go back and work in the grassroots. So currently Earthling First is working on a waste management model. It's an experimental waste management model up in the Himalayas. And that's what's been going on right now.
So since this is the second time this podcast has been recorded, so how were the last few months and how has your work at Tirthan progressed?
Okay. So a little context I'll give the listeners about the project. So the project that I'm currently doing in Himachal Pradesh is called Project Jalori. The destination for Project Jalori is Jalori Pass. It's a ecotourism destination at 10,280 feet above sea level. It's a high pass. It's a tourist attraction and it is a place that became really famous after that film came out. The film called Ye Jawani Hai Diwani. So there is one scene where Deepika Padukone and Ranbir are on top of a beautiful mountain and they're walking and talking. And that location was Jalori Pass. And now everybody started, flocking around and this place became like a tourist hub. And as you know that whenever tourism begins in a place, if unchecked, there is always a waste crisis there. That waste crisis is something that we can see in places like Kullu Manali. And that is also precisely what the project wants to avoid in this particular location. So Project Jalori is like an experimental model that I started in September last year, 2020. And currently we are in phase three of the project. The first phase of the project was about getting to know the people, doing a recce there. I lived in a camp, in a tent for 2 months last year. And it was pretty cold, living there. And that project whether this experiment was going to be successful or not primarily depended on the people. And so the recce was really important. Then the foundation of the project was really important. So I spent 2 months back then talking to people, getting to understand what they feel about the whole waste situation, briefing them about what was going on outside, what were the innovations that were in place. And together, I did not have a team at this point because I lost my team because of COVID crisis. We didn't have any salaries to pay. So September onwards, I was there on my own. But to say that doing this project solo would be wrong because I actually did it with the locals. The locals came up with their own solutions and together we created Project Jalori. So that's what's been going on. But, when we recorded the podcast last time, we talked about how it's, so exciting and we were prepping for phase three. And then phase three. So phase one was about the recce and foundation of the project. The phase two was figuring out the, campaigning bit, awareness bit, and coordinating with local authorities. The phase three is actually running the model itself. So that included cleaning up the place, giving it a fresh start, creating a awareness program with the tourists, and coordinating with, again, the local authorities for a scheduled pickup of the waste. So that was phase three. And the last time we did the podcast, I had just finished phase two. So after that, I've gone back to Project Jalori thrice to Himachal in the last 3 months. And every time there was a certain uncertainty that was growing because of COVID once again. The second wave hit us like nothing else has ever done so before, more intense than last year. But I thought might as well use the time again to, finish some of the tasks that I needed to do before tourists start coming again. So that meant that we could actually use this time to do a couple of cleanups. And that's what we did in phase three. We did a lot of cleanups in phase three. And the site is very beautiful. It's almost a little less. There are still hot spots in various places that we still have to deal with. But so far, we've cleaned the place. So that is one achievement that has come out of phase three. Even though phase three had a lot of things that had to be dealt with, we were at least in this time of crisis, were able to figure out one thing that was cleaning up the place.
So now that there is another lockdown and everything, so what are you doing?
Well, I think the last visit that I did, the last two visits, is the second last visit, I actually took my dog to the project site. For 10 days, my dog lived with me in the project site. We, went about, and very interestingly, whoever is listening, you'd be really curious to know that my dog was also picking up litter. And that really was the most exciting part of that visit because everybody around saw him. They were inspired by my dog. They were like, oh my God, if this dog is doing something like this, I think we should also do it. It was a moment of revelation for a lot of people. But, at that point, I realized that something was going wrong because, I was reading the newspapers, gathering my own data. And the way things looked was very bleak. But at that point, the tourism industry was just going on about their day as usual. So the last visit was a bit worrisome because that's when Himachal started putting on these restrictions. So I went on 15th and 16th, they started restrictions over travelers. The tourism industry was not happy, especially in Himachal. There is this belief that people have that COVID is not a thing, unfortunately, because people are not as impacted. The impact of COVID is not as real in Himachal as it is in places like Delhi, Maharashtra, and other parts of India, because it's less population, because of less population and the fact that the tourism industry could not see so many COVID positive cases, people actually believe that this was something that was unnecessary. You know, a lockdown was unnecessary. That's what they thought. And initially, what I dealt with was a lot of negative emotions. I saw a lot of, people were feeling aggressive about it. They were feeling angry about it. But, you know, that was not the only reason why the lockdown was coming across as an unnecessary thing. It was also because there was a massive incident of climate crisis in the region this time around. So the last two weeks back, there was a snowfall in Jalori Pass and the regions around. Even Shimla, Narkanda, Kulu Manali saw snowfall at the time where apple trees are flowering and other crops are, you know, there's a bloom going on. So at that point, they saw a snowfall, very heavy snowfall. I saw it myself. And it damaged a lot of crops. That really added to the misery of people who also depend on tourism. So agriculture is their primary source of income and tourism comes next. So when tourism goes, they were still a bit like, okay, let's see, we'll deal with it. But because of that incident, that this is climate crisis. That snowfall was clearly a climate crisis in the region. And that really, you know, kind of hit people in such a way that there was a lot of hopelessness in the air. So my last visit was all about listening to them. And when you create a relationship in a place, it's not just about getting them to do things like clean up and getting plastics out. It's also about understanding that they live a life and that life has been impacted. So that's what I was doing. I was listening to them. I was trying to understand what they felt like. And I also decided not to push the plastic pollution agenda on them right at that point, because that was not as important as what they were going through. So I listened to them, and as I like joking and I like making fun of things, and I'm always telling them jokes. But at that point, it was very difficult to do that also. But I tried. And when I left them, the locals there, the local stakeholders, all of them told me to stay back, because they started understanding that the situation in the cities is pretty bad. So they kept telling me that don't go, stay. You will be safe with us. And I think that is something people of Himachal are so welcoming, that they bring this warmth even when in their own moments of darkness. So that was my last visit for Project Jalori. But that's not it. I understand that my schedule has been disrupted and there were a few things that had to be taken care of. They were not. But come June, hopefully things will be better and I will go back for the project. And, you know, everyone there is waiting, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, this is something that is kind of annoying, because everyone has so many plans, so many things to do.
Yeah.
Apart from unnecessary travels, there are a lot of things that includes traveling from one place to another. And when these plans disrupt, then it's like, ab kya hoga? What are we supposed to do? It's very, very sad.
Yeah, I mean, one should always think about the fact that it is not the end. The priority is to be safe. Because if you're not safe, the traveling will not happen anyway. So if the traveling has to happen, one needs to be safe. And plans can always change. You know, travel for people, when I was traveling at this point, I was sharing pictures of, you must have realized that people have stopped sharing positive posts. And there's a lot of, I heard about this term doom scrolling. And I can see that happening. I do that these days. And, you know, at night, I'm so full of it. But when I was traveling, I put a trigger warning, you know, because it's a thing now. And, you know, you never know what triggers who. So I put a trigger warning telling people that I'm here for work. You know, I'm not here for a vacation. And I'm going to be putting the travel stories because it's important for you to know what's going on. I think, you know, traveling at this point also in Himachal, a lot of people who are there would have realized more than waste. You know, the climate crisis, I feel, has really woken people up because, you know, they are not spending 2 days, 3 days. A lot of people who are traveling right now, they're going for months. They're staying in places for long term. And so a lot of these people, I've been having conversations with people who are living there. They're actually getting to know the problems that farmers are facing in high altitude locations with, you know, because of the climate impact. And I feel like people who've gone there long term will come back with some perspective. And that could be a takeaway that can be worked with, you know, not just with environment, but also with travel, how we travel, how we, you know, there's a lack of understanding when it comes to responsible traveling, because people who knew how serious COVID was in Delhi, in Punjab, in Bombay, a lot of people from Bombay have come to Himachal, and they were not following the protocol at all in Himachal. They were like, okay, everybody is fine here. But I was just like, you know what's going on in these cities. How can you act dumb about it? So a lot of mixed feelings about like what's going on. It's really annoying, of course, the whole travel plan getting busted. But then, you know, irresponsible travelers are just like a no-no right now.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of climate change part, so I think this will require another podcast for another set of discussion because it will become like the major highlight of this episode. I think that the climate change movement in India should bring more people from these areas, from mountains, from northeast, from smaller towns who are more prone to facing the wrath of climate change rather than the people who are currently, I should not say occupying that focus attention, but yeah, the small town people, the small community tribals, the people who live in the mountains, they should be in the focus of these conversations, because our climate change movement is not like what is what Europeans and what Americans will face when it hits us.
Yeah, absolutely. I was trying to take some courses, you know, while I was free. And I realized that a lot of courses there have, even when it comes to the context of solutions, it's very European and American in nature. And that really leaves us with this thought, which works in cities, doesn't work in grassroots. And India especially is like an agrarian country. It's fully rural instead of like, you know, the urbanization bit is very limited in India. And I feel if you don't take it to the grassroots, it won't work, no? What's the point? They're the first like line of defense when it comes to climate.
They're the first
ones who are suffering from it. So we definitely need to do another podcast on this. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So like, I won't extend this discussion, but effect of climate change, I had seen in Ladakh in 2019. So people are actually growing watermelons and mushrooms over there. That was something that you would not find 3-4 years back. So this is the effect of climate change.
You know, rural people really teach you a lot about adaptation.
Yeah.
You know, this time around when the apples were, the apple trees that got destroyed were because of innovations like the nets. You know, have you seen those nets on the apple trees? Right? So those the nets are used for hailstorm, to protect the apple trees from hailstorm. But when the snow happened, the nets got so heavy that they uprooted and destroyed the trees itself. So you don't just have, so the people who were not able to afford the nets, the expensive nets, which cost about 1 to 2 lakh rupees, they actually were able to save their trees. So it's a very interesting thing to observe and notice how sometimes innovation will not work. You have to adapt according to what climate throws at you. And the only people who are able to deal with this in the best way possible is not policymakers. Because policymakers decide for a decade. They want to do something till 2030. That is bullshit. You know, climate crisis is right upon us. We need to do something about it right now. So, yes, the space has been occupied by people who have this utopian idea of how environment should look like and feel like, but people at the grassroots really know, you know, how to deal with it at that moment, even through, you know, all the damage that has been done. But, you know, since this podcast was more about, like, you know, whenever we talk about climate crisis, it just goes in one direction. But I'll come back to the project, because that project is kind of trying to, what Project Jalori is doing in the region is trying to avoid the ecosystem crisis. So the reason that place is resilient is because their forests are resilient at the moment. Their birds are not disturbed. The animals are not disturbed. There is wildlife in that region. The forest department is doing a great job. There is some control over tourism. And with the waste management aspect, we can actually create a model that can be studied by people who run these tourism, you know, who work in the tourism industry, and they can replicate it. The larger idea is to replicate these ideas, you know, in other parts of ecotourism, not just Himachal, maybe somewhere down south in Kerala, in Goa, you know, places that have a lot of tourism. I think Goa could learn from it.
So coming back to the point of the agenda of the podcast, so what was the thing that motivated you to become the part of this movement?
What movement are you saying precisely?
Like green movement and anti-plastic pollution movement.
Okay.
In general.
So I work with the civil society movements also. I work with humanitarian causes also. All becomes part of environment at the end of the day. And all needs to be taken care of. So that's why I was trying to clarify which movement. But the green movement, it just happened to me. My teacher, my mentor and teacher back in college, I was studying journalism and I was all set to become a journalist. I had one of the classes was called Current Affairs, and this teacher of mine, he just casually told me, you know, just go to Yamuna and do like this presentation on Yamuna. And I was like, what do I do? You want me to talk about the river? I can do your Wikipedia research. He's like, no, you need to go to Yamuna. And then whatever, you can do a Wikipedia research, you can do whatever. I said, okay, fine. I went there and that was that. That is where my movement towards the direction towards this green movement began, because Yamuna is like a clear example to till date how things are bad. Because it was Ganda Nala. I mean, that's what I call it. Yamuna is not Yamuna anymore. It's sewage pipeline, basically. And that is what it was back then. That is what it is right now. And there has not been change at all. We are still dumping garbage in it. So in that helpless moment, and you know, the past 10 years, I did not stick to Yamuna, of course. I could have just worked on one aspect, but I wanted to learn more. I wanted to learn more about the issue. When you attach yourself with one issue, you kind of lose perspective around others. So my whole direction towards the environmental movement, then eventually climate change and sustainability came to understanding all of these other issues. So it's what it is. Once you catch the scent of, you know, garbage, that's what you will notice everywhere.
So right now, travel destinations are shut down once again. So, but since March to August is the peak tourist season in the mountains, is it possible that we are going to again see reduction in the pollution around hills and other tourist destinations?
So basically, last year when we stopped all movement, the industry stopped. There was no pollution coming from industries. There were no vehicles on the roads. And that is when the nature was really blooming. This time around, industries haven't stopped. Vehicle movement really hasn't stopped. So we cannot assume that there will be a same impact as last year.
Anyhow, so when we talk about making tourism industry sustainable, the fingers always start pointing towards tourists and those who are connected with this market at the ground level. But big tourist agencies, the hotels and businesses are never questioned. So what is the way forward so that we can hold the actual people responsible and give justice to those who are actually being affected due to over-tourism and every problem that is occurring because of it?
So, okay, let's see it this way. Imagine tourism, the impact of tourism is like COVID. The tourism industry is like healthcare, and the government is the same. So to say that the wave, this wave is completely because of the irresponsible attitude of the people and not the healthcare system that was provided, like, you know, the faulty healthcare system that we have, to just blame it on the people would be wrong. Similarly, in tourism, it would be wrong to just blame it all on the tourists and the people who are running this industry. Like the healthcare system that needs to be robust, the tourism industry needs to be robust with a system in place. There are not, so for example, the destinations for tourism do not change overnight. It's not like today Kasol is a destination and tomorrow it's not a destination. Kasol is going to be a destination for a number of years till it is completely ruined, which of course is happening right now. So when the destination is, we know the destination, we know the problem, we need to have a system in place which the tourists can navigate through and the industry can navigate through. So, for example, we know that the waste crisis is a big problem. Why don't we have a system yet? Why don't we have places of collection yet? Why haven't we prioritized segregation yet? 2 years, the last 2 years, the 2020-2021, we had the opportunity of lockdown to put segregation of waste as a priority, as something that is compulsory. Last year itself, I did a lot of promotion for composting and segregation. And I realized that at that point, suddenly, the first lockdown that we saw last year, the waste workers for the first time in their lives were wearing masks and gloves. COVID actually brought that awareness to us. But within 2 months, that was also gone, because nobody took it seriously. So the governance and the decision makers need to focus on creating systems rather than blaming or rather than putting the onus on industry and the tourist itself. Obviously, the once you put the system in place, that's when you focus and tell the tourists that this is what you need to do. But without a system, they will also come and ask you, okay, so what am I supposed to do with this? Where am I supposed to throw this? Similarly, right now, people are looking for oxygen. People are looking for medicines. We cannot blame them for going and putting it out there. Like the Supreme Court also told, you know, a lot of governances that governments that you can't ask, you know, people to not put help out there. So I know then they're very different topics to talk about, but the solution is ultimately very similar. We need to have a system in place for both so that we can guide everybody into doing what must be done.
Yeah, true. Like, it's very concerning and I should say annoying that the authorities in charge don't make arrangements when there is time and they can do more. And when things go bad, they start playing blame games. So when tourists know that there are arrangements for their plastic bottle to be sent in a place where it won't be an eyesore, they will dispose it properly. Like, tourists are not the illiterate people, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the local tourism industry folks have been telling me the past 1 year that I've met, they actually don't have a problem with tourists for coming from outside. They tell me that people have been talking about, where can I put this? Where is the dustbin? you know, all of that. But they have a problem with local tourists, you know, people from within the state who treat it like their own backyard dumpster. So, you know, one has to understand that with the system in place, you can bring honor to locals for doing and keeping their own states clean. And, you know, one can really work with behavior change here. So in the past few months that I've worked with people in Jalori Pass, I've been able to write a few things around behavior change. And I'm hoping to one day put it out there, publish a case study of this project so people can learn that it's with the system in place, you can then really quickly work with behaviors very well, because it really aligns, you know, what you want and how to do it. So both of the things need to go hand in hand. You can't just go around talking about, you know, making people aware about things. People are not stupid. People know. You know, everybody knows that garbage is an issue now. So if you don't have a system in place, there is no point going and telling them things. So when I started with this project, I was very clear with the locals that, listen, there is no system in place right now, but we are going to make that system together. And that is something that really got them, you know, excited and motivated to do it. And people want to do it. People are not everybody is a buffoon. A lot of privileged people, I feel, are buffoons. But normal, everyday, day-to-day people, they're not. They want to do something.
So to our listeners, thanks for tuning in. I hope that this episode was insightful. We hope that you are staying safe and this episode will help you plan a future trip in a more responsible way. And while you are sitting at home, amplify projects like Project Jalori and the social media handles of Earthing First and Tamannas.
I am available on Instagram as @idreamzero, Z-E-R-O. And the project, you can find more project details under the handle @ Earthling First. Earthling First is also available on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. I am unfortunately currently only available on Instagram and LinkedIn. I have a Twitter account which I have kind of made private because I'm sick of Twitter. But yeah, that's that. You can catch me there. And I do hope that there would be people who might be interested. If I may add one more thing in the end, you never asked me how I'm funding myself. Okay, so basically there are no funds. This was a self-funded project since last year. Whatever little savings that we had from 2019-2020 financial year has been used, poured into this project. And I tried to look for grants. CSRs, unfortunately, are only looking to pay not NGOs, not private companies. So I thought I might introduce a concept called something around ecotourism, which can also fund this project. So soon I will also be introducing sustainable camping, sustainable travel, and ecotourism in Jalori Pass. And hopefully with whatever we earn from that, from the our tours and hikes, we will use that money for Project Jalori. So, you know, the project is self-sustainable. And for that, I will need everybody's support. So if you're listening and whoever is listening, please do support this project, and together we can actually create something which is quite a breakthrough and can be a learning experience for others, and hopefully it will solve the plastic problem in Himachal.
That's really cool, and I hope that the next time we record a session, it will be in person and we'll get to collaborate in a much better way.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me here.
Thanks, Amanda, for being a guest. And you are listening to Daily Passenger Responsible Travel Podcast. You can also contact me on my social media channels for feedback or suggestion. And I will be back with a new episode soon.